Hey listeners, this is your host, Brother X. I've come to you guys before today's episode, and I wanted to just make sure I put the disclaimer out here. Nothing crazy happened in today's episode, but I want to make sure that it's clear that all views and opinions that are expressed in this week's discussion are of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or thoughts of the Truth and Transparency podcast. With that being said, guys, let's get started with today's episode. Guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the cultured scientist.
Why do you sound like a camp counselor?
Well, because I grew up at camp every summer, sleepaway camp, 3 a year.
Wait, speaking of camps, I know this is not even on track, and we're already off schedule already. Anybody remember the show Camp Bug Juice?
I did.
On Disney Channel?
I showed up.
That was a classic, man.
It wasn't real life.
Although I wanted to be on there. That's just me personally. But there are so many white people. So, I mean, that's a whole other thing. We're not going to talk about that. All right, we're going to move on. And here on the Truth and Transparency podcast, we talk openly and honestly about everything in between. Why people can't get right, why no one wants to act right, and why there are Hennessy squirt bottles out here in the world. Shout out to one of our guests for that. I can't even take ownership of that joke. I'm not even going to look at that in the comments. Listeners, If you know this by now, every once in a while, we have to have one of those episodes. This is that episode. Mr. Smith is going to have to do a whole lot of work. We're going to go ahead and put the disclaimer out there. I don't even know what we're going to say. But yeah, man, we want to shout out to all of our listeners. We're over 2,000 plays across all 7 podcasting platforms that we are on. Continue to run those numbers up. Continue to support us. Follow us on all social media. Our information is in the show notes. And we'll say it at the end of today's episode. But yeah, listeners, we just want to just shout out to you guys. At the time of this recording, it is the beginning of Black History Month and Black History Year and Black History Life. So shout out to Being Black and Awesome, Being Blackly Black Black, Michael Blackson Black. Shout out to him. And
in honor
of Black History Month,
I have on my African printed bonnet, silky, of course.
Oh yeah, of course.
You got Keisha Cole brand. Keisha Cole brand. Okay.
Did she collaborate with Bow Wow for the do-rags?
No, but it was across the street. They was across like the aisle from each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny.
Oh yeah, no, I'm about to say
it was.
They and probably then, make the most irrelevant hit of 2022 if they got together for a song.
True. And then I got on my It's a Tribe Called Quest. Shut up.
Yeah, man.
And then my Shaw University. Sweatpants, so you know, blackly black all the way up and up.
But before I go into talking a little bit more about being black, so you got, that's your one. I'm not even going to say who you are. I'm not going to put you on front street just yet, but that's your one. All right. Before we get any further, we want to make sure we introduce our guest. And first and foremost, we want to introduce her. She is about 4'2". When she's standing on the step stool, she got all the Bath and Body Works in her house right now. She took a knee like Colin Kaepernick and was still about 4 feet tall. the leopard print connoisseur, my lovely sister from Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, you know what it is, constitutionally bound. Queen C, introduce yourself.
Nigga, fuck you. Damn. Oh my God, I can't catch my breath. I'm gonna give you that one, Brother X. That was funny. Anyway, your girl Queen C, they finally let me out the doghouse to do another episode. It's been like 5 years, but I'm back.
We gotta be able to have money for other guests this season.
I'm unpaid, like Mr. Smith.
Hey, don't talk about behind the scenes. I got 5 Bath and Body Works coupons for you if you act right. They're the ones for the 3.
I can buy my own Bath and Body Works.
The 3 with candles?
Those belong to me.
I got candles.
Don't worry, I got another set. So I got to connect.
Anyway, can I finish?
Yes, of course.
You gonna let me finish? All right. Thank you, Kanye. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it is no longer fluffy girl fall. We are in the midst of winter. It is a wide girl winter. Get you one.
That's all I got to say.
Wow. Just wow. All right, we're just going to move on.
Y'all don't understand. We do not need to have the chats on.
I'm going to move on to our next guest. One of our funniest and don't know how to act friends. One of the most artistic people that I know. My man got like 5 plants in his background right now. He comes from the land of lemon pepper wet wings and fine lady establishments. You know what it is. Jordan T or Taz Creates, introduce yourself.
Yeah, you already did it, so I don't have too much to say. What's going on, people?
Respect, respect, respect. And I would be remiss. The redheaded assassin, your daddy's favorite homo, aka him over there gonna take your man. My man ain't never heard a twerk song he didn't like. Him and Meg Thee Stallion are cousins. You just don't know it yet. And if he lets you, he might show you a good time. Kelsey, introduce yourself.
What up? It's your favorite homo's favorite homo, and the reason your daddy went to the store and never came back. It's Kelsey in the building.
Wait, there was a line. The coach of scientists
came in like he just took the whole tree.
Wow,
the whole
like the whole forest. Tree. Like man, move out to the west coast. It's still dark out there, man. Wow.
All right.
We're just gonna move on to our sound engineer. LeBron James Statman, aka the Satin Durag Assassin, Bibles Goes West, the remix, Littlefoot's older brother, Bigfoot, aka my hairline is shaped like Michael Smith. AKA, his beard is never unmoisturized. You know what it is. AKA, the wacky inflatable tube man. AKA, Darkwing Duck. AKA, Scrooge McDuck. AKA, Donald Duck. Mrs. Smith, introduce yourself.
I was good until you said Donald Duck. Screw you. Screw you, asshole. Anywho, it's your favorite friend, Mr. Smith, also known as a Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Goddamn.
And just want to thank you guys for the amount of plays, subscriptions, comments. Please keep commenting, and we're going to keep giving you this content. And just a small little thing, Brian Flores, we on your side, my nigga, because you are taking the NFL and saying, I got your receipts within here. You gonna get this work. That's all.
Listeners, we don't apologize. Like, I can never drop the transcript of this. We must protect the innocent, but good Lord, I'm gonna have to find a way to turn off the chat in the future.
Never again.
Yeah, no, this chat gotta go.
Turn off the chat.
Oh my goodness. The things that you guys do not see or hear with this show. Good Lord. But yeah, man, so let's go ahead and get into it. Since it is Black History Month, I don't want to start on too much of a negative note, but let's talk about some people who can't get right. So apparently, people thought on February 1st of the Lord and Savior of Black History Month decided to say that there are 13 HBCUs that reported bomb threats on the first day of Black History Month. Yes, listeners, you heard that correct. 13 HBCUs. Some of the schools were Jackson State, Howard University, Coppin State, Mississippi Valley State, Morgan State, Akron State University, I'm not even gonna say that one, I'm not even gonna hurt myself like that, Kentucky State, Fort Valley State, as well as Xavier University. And there's a couple other ones I did not speak on, but yeah, listeners, just as we celebrate and honor Black History Month, even though it should be every day, but people don't wanna actually hear the truth about what happened in the past. Please just, why? Like, it serves no purpose. All you're doing is showing your ass. Like, just let it go. Like, it don't need to be done. Like, if you don't support it, just be like some people and run.
Really?
No, I'm sorry. That was in poor taste. Go ahead and make sure you edit that part out.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm so editing that out. Anywho, go ahead.
All right, sorry about that, guys. You know, I be a little bit off sometimes. You can't make all the shots. All right. So we're actually going to move on to our next segment. Oh, no, I'll be remiss. So, guys, have you been down to Florida lately?
Oh, God.
No? Well, no. So apparently Florida got everything. They got people who don't know how to wear masks, people who don't know how to stay at home. And apparently, they have a professional pillow fighting league. Yes, listeners, you are hearing that correct. A professional pillow fighting league. Apparently, they just like, nah, we ain't going to use the guns no more. We ain't going to listen to Rick Ross music. I cannot talk right now. They're going to use pillows to fight each other, which, I mean, there's worse things they could do with it, but good Lord. And as someone said earlier before the show started, wow, you lose all credit, street credibility. Like, that's just crazy. Matter of fact, yes, culture scientist.
It got so serious that he had to take his shoes off. Like, took his shoes off. Secondly, is there rules about what they can put in there in the pillow bags, because it's a pillow fight. Not necessarily mean you can't put shit in the pillow. And then thirdly, only in Florida.
Of course. Like, my question is, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Smith. And then,
all I was gonna say was, I'm laughing at the fact this man said, I'm gonna take these shoes and socks off to get extra traction because I want this money. Now, I'm very, I guess, intrigued that the winner receives a title belt and $5,000. But at the same time, we just bored? Is that what's hot in the streets? Is this going to be on ESPN 8 the Ocho?
Oh, is that what it's going to be? You know it is.
I'm just waiting for, that's right, Cotton. It's good. It's a bold move. Let's see if this works out. Like, get your dodgeball head ass the fuck up out of here. That's all.
Go ahead, Jordan.
I was just trying to figure out what, sleepovers culture scientists got kicked out of talking about what she stuffs her pillows with. That was a little concerning.
What? I'm sorry, I found out what?
So you were talking about the rules for stuffing up the pillowcases, or is it just regular pillows, or, you know, can they put something in it? So I was wondering what sleepovers you got kicked out of.
None. I'm the baby of the family.
Wait, what that got to do with that?
I'm gonna go back on mute.
Siblings have no mercy sometimes, okay?
What? So you gonna get a brick?
Listen, protection. Protect yourself.
Queasy.
I'm just mad these niggas are really in a boxing ring doing this shit.
I'm about to say, if there is money to be made, it will happen.
Like, next thing you know, they go upgraded. They're gonna be in an MMA cage. Just
Oh yeah. Very much so. Kelsey.
To your point, Queen C, I feel like if this was in somebody's bedroom, we'd probably be on OnlyFans instead.
Why?
I mean, why? He's not wrong.
He's 100% right.
It's still a subscription service.
I'm Captain Falcon meme where it's like, you're out of line, but you're not wrong. So we're just going to move on because nothing's going to top that.
We're going to move on to our
next segment, which is one of our newest ones, which is Culture Scientist Be Streaming. And in Culture Scientist Be Streaming, she talks about shows or movies or other things she watches on her phone that is streaming.
Or on the TV.
Mainly on the phone.
I feel judgment.
Never on the tablet.
I feel judgment.
No. I'll be right there with you watching the shows.
All right. Okay. So, on today's episode of Culture Scientists Be Streaming, I have been streaming a show called Zoo. It's an old show. I find random things to watch. So this one, it ended in 2017, I believe. It's 3 seasons long. I'm on 2nd season. Yes, that fast, okay?
She started it yesterday.
I did not. I started it last week-ish.
Mm-hmm, that means Sunday.
Anyways, moving along. It is about, basically, I don't even want to tell you like the premise that Wikipedia is telling me. Basically, what you need to know, the show is about animals that fight back. They said enough is enough. And you know what? So basically, they start randomly attacking different places. And people are like, oh my gosh, why is this happening? And then people are like, we're gonna save the world, and like that's the beginning. And then the second season goes a little more fictiony, but it's still cool. A lot of stuff is happening, you know, you want to know. But it's a really cool show. You can find it on Netflix. And you know, I'm half rooting for the animals and I'm half rooting for the humans, because you know, humans in this world, you know, I can see this actually happening, which is why this is kind of scary. But moving along to my second one, mm-hmm. that I think more people will enjoy, because mm-hmm. you know, it's more friendly.
Okay.
And everybody else will have input on this one because they had input earlier.
Uh-huh.
Encanto.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's about this magical house,
mm-hmm.
this magical family.
What's it called?
Encanto.
The house. What's the name of the house?
The house?
One of the guests, please help her out.
Please.
Casita.
Thank you. And this young lady, you know, she's there to like figure out the superpowers with her family, mm-hmm. and basically everybody, we agree, fuck the grandma.
Abuela, we got beef. I don't care if you redeem yourself. We got beef.
But it's basically about, it's a musical, it's an animated musical, and it's based in what city?
We'll say South America.
South America?
Colombia. Yeah,
South America. I'm sorry, Colombia. Thank you.
I was like, where was it? Yeah, Colombian family. There it is. A multi-generational Colombian family. And it's kind of like showing you, it's a lesson. Oh, you know, most Disney movies have a lesson somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take anything away from this, it's fuck grandma. And, you know, it's okay to not be perfect. That's it.
There you go. So
go watch Encanto on Disney.
If you haven't already done so.
And what's the other thing that you keep, we don't talk about?
We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Anybody else want to contribute to this show since y'all had input earlier?
Yes, Kelsey.
Oh, we're going to talk about Bruno. But if anybody is goddamn self.
But like, because I'm not trying to ruin it, so I'm not trying to say
we can't go in too much. We might do a bonus bonus episode about it.
I can't tell you about the premise without really fully giving it away, in my opinion, because I get too hype about it.
That's fair. Yes, Kelsey.
Mr. Smith actually looks like Bruno right now.
He does.
Oh,
new nickname alert.
There it is. All right. Anyone else before we move on? Nope.
That Bruno looking ass.
All right. So
7-foot frame with rats on his back.
All right. So we're actually going to move into our next segment, which is Now Mind You. For those who have not heard this segment before, it is a segment where we talk about things that happen that we see in the internet or in our lives that we want to talk about. Where in the Black community, we use the term Now Mind You to explain a key point, a very vital point in the story, which you need to be paying attention to. So in Now Mind You first, we have the, I promise I wouldn't cry. We have the unfortunate news, I'm serious. the very joyous news of the former music artist, Rihanna, and the not so active rapper, A$AP Rocky, they announced that they're having a child together. For those who don't know, there is many of ashy, unmoisturized dudes in Rihanna's DMs that basically feels like this. Mr. Smith, can you play the clip?
It should have been me, not him. It's not fair.
Yes, I had to go ahead and make that joke. It's not mine, but I'm claiming it as mine. It's free real estate. Go ahead, Kelsey.
I just wanted to speak to those ashy niggas one good time and say that this bitch curved Drake. What chance did y'all think y'all had? And second of all, to the gay boys out there who really thought we was getting another Rihanna album, y'all should have knew as soon as she had that billion with a capital B in front of her name that we were never getting a Rihanna album ever again.
Oh, she done. Unless she done. She feel like it.
Exactly.
She might just drop it just because she came.
See, Jordan, I appreciate you. You be having us rolling.
Can I read it?
Yes, go ahead.
Can I read what he said?
Yes, you can.
I want to read it out loud. I need
that. All right, listen, this is just a taste of what we see in the comments. Go ahead.
ASAP Rocky seems like he smokes high grade black and milds made of silk.
Wow, we're just no. That, see, listen, you all get a taste. You all get a taste. We're not going that far. Woo! The Lord caught you on that one.
I don't want no taste.
I'm
glad
you knew I was gonna keep going.
You really almost Ron Burgundy deep on the podcast. I don't appreciate that.
Woo, boy.
Queasy, go ahead.
Based off the chat, it seemed like Kelsey bought a taste.
Yes, go ahead.
I love Rihanna. I think she's just a fascinating person in general. And I, like, you know, she curb drank. Okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, you love who you love.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
You're not feeling the ASAP Rocky?
I don't know, because I don't know what she, you know. I would not have paired them together.
Really?
Not off bat. I can see it now, but I would not have paired them together. But you know, Rihanna is, Rihanna is just Rihanna.
She on that list. Every dude, every woman know what that list is.
The way she matured was so graceful.
Woo! Now, Mrs. Smith, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up. So my question is, since she is having a baby now, is she going to make a Baby Savage Fenty line?
Please do.
I mean,
what?
I don't buy that brand.
That sounds like a pedophile's paradise.
Hold on. See, there's two types of people. We're talking about,
we're
talking about pajamas. Jordan pajamas.
She was born in just lingerie,
right?
Like, you can't have your baby out here dripping, looking like...
You know she makes onesies, right? Like...
Again, a lot of people make onesies.
All right, go ahead, Kelsey.
I mean, I think she's definitely capable of making a baby line, because when you look at her men's line up until this last drop, it was very vanilla, very boring, very plain, until she clearly hired some gay men.
Fair enough.
Well, that's fair.
All I know is, oh, go ahead, Quincy.
I want some.
I just, you know, I'm very, very happy, very elated for my fellow Pisces and all her baby bump glory. I got one small issue with the announcement. Just one little one.
Why? I feel like I know where you're going with this.
I feel like she should have waited one more day and did it for Black History Month. That's all. See, one more day.
Why her pregnancy announcement got to do with Black History Month?
Because this is Black history.
See, hold on.
This is about to be the richest baby in Black America. Okay?
Wait, hold on. That is Black Ivy. You're not going to be 100, bro.
Blue Ivy, nigga.
Blue Ivy.
It say that. Blue Ivy. I'm sorry. My apologies. I can't speak today.
Okay, but Jay-Z and Beyonce.
We respect the Beehive, okay? We respect the Beehive.
We do. But I will say, Jay-Z and Beyonce, it took two of them to get a Billy. Rihanna did it by herself.
Fair enough.
Touche.
So, two things. Sorry, Mr. Smith, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I have no dog in this fight. Clap, clap, bravo. Right. I'm glad that y'all are together. I'm glad that you're bringing a baby into this somewhat fucked up world. And if there's anything else I can take from ASAP Rocky, I look back at his first album. He loves bad bitches. That's his fucking problem.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I mean, I'm happy for them. Was not what I expected.
So, Quincy, if you are looking for another reason why it should be Black History, and we'll move on from this, the way they announced it is in the most New York way possible. She got on the bubble jacket with the stomach out, blue jeans, and correct me if I'm wrong, did she not have a fresh pair of the Wheats on her feet? Like, I promise you, that was one of the most New York things I have ever seen. It looked like a New York gender reveal. But one last thing about the Baby Savage Fenty.
That's anything about Tiana?
Yes. If she does make that line for babies, that baby ain't never going to be able to sleep. It's going to be sliding across the bed the whole time. Because you know it's all going to be silk. I'm sorry. I had that one in the hole, so I had to let that one go. Yes, Kelsey.
I actually bought some of her lingerie this time because, you know, it spoke to my soul. And it is not all silk. There's also mesh.
Fair enough. That baby going to look like a Rasta.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jordan. Say something smart.
I ain't got nothing to say.
All right. So, listeners, we're going to switch lanes. We're actually going to go talk about another restaurant. I know we talked about Cracker Barrel a couple of episodes ago, or last week, I think it was. We're going to talk about another restaurant, Golden Corral. So, Coach Scientist, can you read the title of this, please?
Watch. Massive brawl breaks out in a Ben Salem Golden Corral over alleged steak shortage.
Mr. Smith, play the clip.
Live on CBS News Philly. Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm Yuki Washington.
And I'm Jessica Cartaglia. Friday night out turned into a melee in Ben Salem at a Golden Corral restaurant. Now police are trying to figure out how it all started. Eyewitness News reporter Matt Petrillo is in Ben Salem tonight. Matt?
Well, I talked to a man who posted that video online. He says he was told that fight broke out after the buffet here ran out of steak. Video shared with Eyewitness News shows punches being thrown and high chairs flying as a fight breaks out inside the Golden Corral in Ben Salem Friday evening. Ben Salem police confirm the brawl may have involved more than 40 people and happened following an argument among some customers. Officers are still looking into what caused the argument.
I've never seen nothing like that in Golden Corral before.
This man who used to work at the Ben Salem Golden Corral says he was told by a current employee about the initial altercation.
From what I heard, it was over steak. Apparently somebody cut in line.
His friend heard the same details.
There was a shortage of steak, and yeah, two parties like were involved.
Take a close listen, and a man can be heard saying, "All I wanted was some steak." Golden Corral wouldn't answer our email asking if a lack
of Smith, possibly.
All I wanted was some steak. Like, man, y'all, this man.
Why? You and Mrs. Smith are wrong. Y'all assumed the one big man that we see in the video is the one who said that.
He turned around at the exact same moment.
You are making assumptions
about care. This man, this round man, looking like an Oompa Loompa.
Wow.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Lisa, I didn't talk about the Eminem lookalike / Justin Timberlake, okay?
But you just did.
Oh, I did. Darn. Listen. First off, Golden Corral steak ain't that bomb. It's good, but it ain't that bomb. Camden. They also throw high chairs.
I'm about to say there are questions.
And tables. This is one for
I'm gonna bring my analysis to What the Fuck Studios after I let the guests listen. Share. Go ahead, Queen C.
He sounded so disappointed. I feel so bad for him. Like he said that with his soul. All I wanted was some steak.
Who do you think said it?
I think it was a nigga, honestly. I think it was a black guy.
You know it was that round man.
you really stuck on this. Kelsey, go ahead.
I just wanted to insert that meme of NeNe Leakes saying, "Ooh, child, the ghetto." Like, I'm glad I don't know where the city is because I don't want to go to it. Like, we're fighting at the Golden Corral. Like, really? Really? It sounds like some Florida shit, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Mr. Smith?
So, before I say anything, I wanted to let y'all know there's a little bit more to the clip. I wanted to let it finish before I get my thoughts.
All right, go ahead.
The melee. But JK Hospitality, the Golden Corral franchise, wrote in a statement, "Thankfully, no serious injuries have been reported. The safety of our guests and coworkers is our top priority."
Oh my gosh.
Meantime, people we showed the video to blamed the customers.
Not respect for people or for property or anything. Disgusting.
Why she look like the father from King of the Hill?
She did not.
Wow.
She did not.
Nothing happened here.
Hey, you leave my man Hank alone.
It's propane and propane accessories.
All right. Listeners, we're sorry. Clip play.
People would even do that in a public place when there's children around.
Our community should be safe for families.
Okay. Now that that's played, three things. The first thing, which I agree with everybody else. Where the hell y'all grab... Where's the baby from those high chairs? Because you didn't just go to the back and grab the high chairs. The baby was in that. So where is the baby? That's number one. Number two, homeboy, can we get a GoFundMe for homeboy just so he can get some steak? And like some, I want him to get that good shit. I don't want him to get Golden Corral. Give him some Ruth's Chris. Give him some Joe's. Get him some STK. You know, let him upgrade his taste buds. And then finally, all jokes aside, it's interesting how, if listeners, the video will be in the show notes. When you see the video, you see like a good mix of black and white people, a little bit more black than white. When you hear them interviewing people, it is all white people. And they're saying, I'm so disgusted and I don't believe this. This is uncanny. I don't know why they would do that. There's two sides to every story. So yes, whoever cut for the steak, knocked their asses out. But I don't understand. We could have not like showed this video to black people and got their opinion as well. Cause you know, diversification. That's all.
It would be a funny response.
I mean, ultimately, like in my mind's eye, I'm thinking the baby over in the corner eating her chicken tendies and fries. Like, what I do?
That baby found steak. You know that baby has steak.
You know that baby can't eat steak? Look, it gonna be gnawing that thing to this day.
Okay, the baby has steak.
The baby gonna choke on the steak.
Let one of them go.
All right, Kelsey, go ahead.
I'm surprised nobody said it yet, but y'all already knew that they chucked that steak like, they chucked that baby like Issa Rae.
The way that high chair went in the air, I agree with
dog,
you.
They were not playing.
Them high chairs are not that light. So like.
And they're probably plastic or wood. Like, so you know that thing hurting.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Queen C, go ahead.
Okay, so I got several points from what everybody's just said. One, this is Golden Corral. Y'all know they don't properly put the high chairs away. They leave them in the section where they are, just push it towards the wall. It's probably an empty high chair. No babies were harmed in the making of this brawl, okay?
You sure? Because I swear I saw a baby
pretty sure.
You don't know that.
That baby was saying world star.
Shut the hell up. I can't. But yeah, those high chairs are straight wood. The other thing, this is Philadelphia, a suburb of Philadelphia. And you talking about a steak shortage in Philly? You already knew it was about to be a fight. And that's I bet right. It was a white person that cut in line.
Oh, yeah.
With his privileged ass. Betty White. That's what
I was gonna say. I mean, the question was, where's the beef?
Really?
With the baby.
Told you.
Jordan, do you have any thoughts?
There was a shortage of steak, but no shortage of beef. That is all.
Back to you, Tom.
Wait.
Well done. Good answer. Ooh. All right, so that's just crazy. So just be on the lookout for Golden Corral. And if you are going there, make sure you have some Pepto-Bismol and make sure you don't have any plans for the rest of the evening because you're going to have them bubble guts. But that's a whole other story for another day. Now we're going to switch things. I'm going to turn the keys over to this car to Mr. Smith to talk about our next story. Mr. Smith?
So everyone wants to find love. Everybody wants to feel appreciated and do well in this thing that we call life. So there was a video that was going around where this lady had been talking to a guy for, I think I want to say about 2 days. And she decided to do a little bit extra to show the guy the appreciation for their first link up. Take a listen.
Hi, so I wanted to give you guys a quick little tip on how to make a first impression last. Okay, so I've been talking to someone for literally like 2 days now, and we decided to have our first meetup link date, whatever you want to call it. And just through our conversation, I know for a fact he is an avid cigar smoker. He enjoys a good cigar over a glass of brandy or whiskey. I can't remember which one. I think it was whiskey. But I picked up on that little mental note. And I remember that my dad is an avid cigar smoker and he has a really nice collection. So before getting on the road for our date today, I decided to stop by my parents' house and actually pick up a cigar. And my dad actually threw in a cigar cutter. And my mom, being the mom that she is, was like, "Oh my God, Samara, you can't take it just like that and hand a cigar and a cutter, wrap it." And I'm like, "Well, what do I have to wrap it with?" Her crafty self had some twine in a paper bag. So I wrapped a cigar in literally a paper bag I folded up and some twine, and I really hope this is a good first impression.
So far, sounds pretty innocent. Lady went on a date, talked to the guy, gave him a cigar. Now here's the follow-up that came from said date.
So here's an update. He loved the gift. Loved it. He said he's never received like a gift on a first date ever before, so it really made me stand out. And we actually drove to a little point in Baltimore that is his favorite spot. It was by the water, and we actually stayed in the car because it was cold, but he showed me how to cut the cigar. He explained like the whole breakdown of cigars and how there's different levels, and we actually got to smoke the cigar, and he showed me how to smoke it properly because in the past, I used to choke. But he definitely told me like this made me stand out, and he's very appreciative for me just listening and picking up on little things. And he actually surprised me by taking me to a record store, because I mentioned to him I was trying to grow my vinyl collection that I had. So he surprised me as well. And yeah, ladies, I will keep you posted on this one because he's a good one.
So again, sounds clean. They had communication. They, you know, was transparent. She bought him a cigar. I mean, no, she didn't buy him a cigar. Make sure I'm very clear on that. She gifted him a cigar that was free because her dad was smoked cigars and gave her one. But apparently, Black women on TikTok took that and ran with it. And some of these things I just still am baffled by, such as this person.
Yeah, beautiful boss Steve. She did say the date went very well. The one where she bought him a cigar and then wrapped it up and his dad gave him the cigar cutter and all this other stuff. But did you catch the part where he admitted that he was a narcissist? Did you catch the signs that automatically already he's a narcissist? When she says that the date went well and that he says, "Yes, I'm really impressed, like nobody's ever done this, and that really sets you apart." That is a classic narcissist phrase, because what narcissists do is they keep you auditioning and performing for them, constantly trying to earn their approval of you so that they don't have to show up and earn you, so that you don't really see the dark stuff, the things that are wrong with them. So I am willing to bet that for this beautiful young lady, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with her, I'm saying that she has a pattern, but I'm willing to bet that he wouldn't be the first narcissist she's been in a relationship with.
So you would have thought, damn lady, like, you just hating on this woman. But then it gets worse. She decides to double down and bring in her, I'm going to assume it's her husband because I see a ring, but then again, it could be a fake ring. It could be a boyfriend. I don't know. Either way, her significant other.
Hey, ladies, on a live today, I was talking about how you do way too much. And this is a perfect example. But just so you can understand, I want to ask a man like how he would feel if a woman did this. So here we go. Hey, Lovebug. So I just watched a video where this woman who was going on a first date, actually, because she knows he likes cigars, she wanted to make a good first impression, so she went and bought him a cigar, got the daddy gave her a pair of cutters, the mom wrapped it up in parchment paper or whatever, and she's going to gift him this cigar for the first date. How would you feel about a woman doing that for you on the first date?
That feels a little bit like too much too soon to me. Personally,
she's operating in her masculine energy and just doing way too much.
So I'm gonna turn the floor back over to Brother X. I just want to say, to just make sure everything is clear, in the video she stated she did not buy the cigar. Her dad gifted her the cigar, and in doing so, her mom got wrapping paper and some twine, and she put it in a little present. Which, last time I checked, if you give somebody something, it costs $0.00. Where did you buy it? How did you do it? But I'm going to save my comments for the end. Go ahead, Brother X.
So, wait,
clarification.
Just
remind me one more time.
Yes.
She wanted to get him a gift, but she didn't know what. Then she remembered that her dad has cigars.
Remember that the guy said he likes cigars, yes.
Yeah, both things. Mm. And she told her father, and then her father offered it.
Yes. So she went to her father saying, hey, I'm gonna link with this guy and he likes cigars, wanted to know where I could get some. Her dad said, oh, take one of these, and here, I'll even throw in a cigar cutter, and you can just gift him that. And then her mom said, oh, but you can't give him that just straight up. You got to, you know, presentation. So she gave her some paper and twine, and so she wrapped it up.
I got that part. I just needed to understand the gift part and the doing too much part.
No, I mean, I feel like...
In quotation marks for those that cannot see what I am doing, because I have more comments, but I'm going to let everybody else talk first.
So, first and foremost, let me just address the last video first. We're going to start with the ending at the beginning. So, you decide to make this video to garner the clicks, the attention for this. And then, of all men you choose to ask, you ask your husband or your soulmate or your partner, who, for any man who has been in any type of relationship, there's a certain level of, I choose to have peace and not necessarily disagree with my partner by just co-signing what they're saying, especially if I was not pre-warned ahead of time. It's guaranteed he was not asked ahead of time to give his response, because I'm sure if he had time, he might have had a different response.
On camera.
But you put him on the spot, and now he's trying to make sure that you don't look crazy, because he knows you like to be a social media personality and to put stuff out there. So now he don't want to sound crazy, even though you're starting to sound crazy. And then even then, when he said that sounds like a little bit too much, which ultimately is a reasonable response to some, you then decide to tag it on and say that she's operating in her masculine energy. Man, what did he say that said that? You literally didn't want his opinion. You just wanted his cosign to make you feel right. You're looking for a confirmation bias, if I use that term correctly. Mm-hmm. Coach of Scientist?
First, I'm going to say my joke. Well, okay. It's not a real joke. It's just, why does she have on them glasses? That's the part that's bothering. Like that.
She wanted to see if it was going to work out.
She's a very beautiful woman, and she don't need to wear them Coke bottle, big looking grandma glasses too big for her face. Them glasses do not fit everybody.
That's fair.
Okay. Now, on a serious note, she said they've been talking for a while, and they decided to link up. So she wanted to do something nice. So how dare you put your insecurities and prejudgments and your expectations on her?
Talk about it.
Because I'm not, like, for me, that is a little too much. But you also don't know her. You don't know what they've talked about. And you don't know their relationship before they decided to link up. Each relationship is a little bit different. So to say that this person is the man, first off, you don't even know nothing about the man, okay? You took the judgment that she said about the man and like, oh, I'm gonna run with this, he's a narcissist. You're not wrong in your definition of a narcissist. However, just because he liked it and he, oh, this is impressive, hello, she made a memorable mark. What is that wrong? And going to your point, yes, don't ask. You need to ask more of a diverse group of people this question, not your significant other, when probably 90% of the time you will agree or A, keep the peace, just say. And yeah, I'm just bothered by the second lady.
Okay, I'm gonna open up the floor. I saw Kelsey. I felt something in my spirit that Kelsey, you have a testimony that you won't speak on. You wanna speak your piece? Let me go ahead and pass the mic to you.
Yes, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the chapter Lonely Bitch, verse 69. It says, this is the part that's tripping hoes up, because she said that they had been talking, they had multiple conversations, and she remembered that he liked cigars. See, the thing that these lonely hoes don't understand is before you go on these dates, you have a conversation. And you actually pick up things from the conversation.
Right. You be listening.
You take this information into your memory banks, you see.
Right.
When it's time for the meeting.
Take your time, Pastor.
When it's time for the meeting. You know that this person likes XYZ. So you think, huh, maybe I can put together XYZ to bring to the meeting. Then he knows that I was paying attention. But see, lonely bitches don't know to do that. And they go straight to the bed. They go straight to the bed. Y'all don't hear me though. To the bed because they haven't had any conversations. This woman is listening and paying attention. Things that don't come naturally to said lonely bitches. That's why they are, in fact, lonely bitches. And the doors of the church.
Lord, please forgive us. Please, I know you understand the spirit in which is being said, but
Lord, you know your pastor.
Please know our hearts. Please know our hearts.
I love you, Lord.
Ooh, yes, Heathen Pentecostal Church of Shaving Sin. Jordan, you are a genius.
You were sitting over thinking about that one.
Oh yeah, no, he was contemplating that. Queen C, go ahead.
You gonna make me go to real church?
So I'm not gonna repeat any of the points that were already made. Just know I agree 100%. But I just want to talk about the second woman, as Kelsey so politely called her, the lonely bitch. I just want to take this a little bit further. Notice that even though you hear a male voice, you do not see his face on camera. She the side bitch. You ain't got no place to talk.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You judging a woman going out trying to find her one and only, and you the side hoe. Sit down. Be humble.
Oh, God.
Talking about context clues, that's what I got.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Everybody can judge somebody else's video. You know?
But let's see whose judgment is more correct. I bet mine is.
Wow. Mr. Smith, go ahead.
I'm gonna just wrap this up because the congregation is getting restless and the benediction needs to happen.
I mean, Pastor, we've been here for five hours. Come on now.
Did you say something?
Jordan, did you have something before Mr. Smith went?
No, the doors of the church are open.
All right, Mr. Smith, go ahead and bring us
home. To me, the biggest thing that I took away from this is a lot of women that were reading this were saying, oh girl, why are you giving him a gift? He hasn't earned that yet. He's got to earn you and all that. First of all, let this woman do what she want to do. It is her life. It is her feelings. It is her actions. When she goes to bed in the morning or at night, she's the one that got to live with those actions. She's got the one that got to live with those thoughts. Why are you guys projecting your
Continue.
Why are you guys projecting your insecurities on this woman when a lot of the women that were commenting on this are single? And I mean, lonely single. So like, you're talking about pick me's. You're talking about, you know, oh, he you're being a little thirsty. Oh. Last time I checked, a lot of women tend to actually like the idea of being the chaser, not the chased. And a good number of men actually find that very attractive. It's like, oh shit, a woman actually knows what she wants. Let me go ahead and see what's up with that. Now, it depends on who they are. But the key in this is they had a conversation, and not just one, several. So she knew, hey, he gonna like this. He gonna do this, he gonna do that, cool. And for all the women that's talking about, oh, she did something too much, did you not hear the part where she said he took her out to a vinyl store as, you know, reciprocation and listened to what she liked and bought a couple vinyls? And then the last thing I'm gonna say to this is, a lot of these people are giving all these hot takes, but do y'all not understand that number one, y'all done gave this woman a brand. Number two, she done gone on several podcasts and she's securing a bag. And number three, and most importantly, they went on a second date and he took care of it. And they smoked a cigar and she got that good, I'm talking about that good steak, not that Golden Corral steak, that good shit where you got the little like garlic butter on the top with a little salt bay. That's what she got off of a cigar. But y'all can't get a call back in time for Valentine's Day. I'm sorry. My water's getting cold. My water's getting warm. Let me go ahead and fill it up. Continue.
Paying attention, no matter how little it can be great reward.
So before we go any more left than we already have,
amen.
We're just going to close. We're going to pass the collection plate and move on to our Black business highlight that we're about to support. And in this Black business highlight this week, we're actually going to be supporting a business called Actively Black. Actively Black is a athletic or athleisure wear brand that's built to uplift and reinvest back into Black community. This community is actually built, this brand is actually a partner brand in conjunction with in Jesus Christ We Pray brand. It's very awesome. It's like one of those really high quality athletic wear. They got hoodies, joggers, shorts, socks, all these type of athletic wear that is 100% Black owned. And a lot of the revenue goes back into the Black community. It is from a former NBA player who actually decided he wanted to create an athletic brand for people who were of color to give us brands that we could actually support. Additionally, he actually has had different celebrities and athletes actually support, such as Stephen Curry, such as Steve Harvey, and other big name celebrities. So please check them out. Now I will make the disclaimer, they are a little bit pricey, but I mean, you pay what you get for it. So if you're willing to pay the money for the Nikes, the Adidas, the Under Armours, the Pumas, and everything in between, take a look at Actively Black. Their information will be in the show notes. They are Actively Black on Instagram and on Facebook. And you can check out their website, activelyblack.com. Again, that is Actively Black, an athleisure wear company that actually has wonderful clothes that you should check out if you're trying to get in your New Year's resolution of working out and getting back in shape. With that being said, guys, we're actually going to go ahead and transition into this week's topic, which overall we're actually going to talk about For the Culture. Mr. Smith, do you mind explaining what the For the Culture series is going to be about?
So for this month in Black history, we want to take a look at TV shows that are very iconic and basically talks about Black people in a culturistic standpoint, and not the normal stereotypes that you would see Hollywood, where it's always Black pain or Black trauma, but actually showing stuff in the nowadays, in today's age, to where you can kind of resonate with them on some type of level. The show must be able to be referenced even years later for it to be in this type of series.
Thank you for that. With that, we actually want to go ahead and get into the first one or first genre or the first archetype that we want to talk about, which was the friend group TV shows. Now, for this, there were certain ones that immediately came to mind when myself, the coach of scientists, and Mr. Smith were discussing this. So the obvious one, the most recent one we just talked about a couple of weeks ago, which was Insecure. You have Living Single.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
All right, that's enough. We can't get copyrighted. All right, and Girlfriends. There are a multitude of other ones that you could probably think of, but those are the three that initially came to mind. So the first question I want to ask to our guests and to my co-host are, what are the essentials for a For the Culture Friends Group TV show? Like, what would you, like, if you had to make a list of must-haves in order for it to be considered For the Culture and is a Black friend group television show, what would you say, Mr. Smith?
So you want to have a type of friends group that resonates with the people that are currently in yours. And there's always, look at any friends group or majority of the friends groups in the world, you always have the one that's the overachiever that, you know, definitely went up and had the bachelor's, master's degrees, all that. You have the class clown, the one that can make a joke about just about anything. You got kind of like the leader in a sense, but, you know, the person that's the, I guess, most mature, and then you got to have somewhat of the bougie one where you know she sticks to the group because she's humble, but because she came into some money, she shows out in all the latest design fashion.
Okay. Kelsey,
I think in making a show like this, one of the important things is actually what happens behind the scenes. Like, you need, there are a lot of nuances to Black culture where if you're not of the culture, that you just don't know about. And so you need Black people like in the writer's room, like writing these characters. Like, you need people to key in on these like really key things that, like, and it can be the slightest things from, like, you know, microaggressions at the office, stuff like that, or to things with, like, relationships, like, let's say, with people dating interracially, that kind of thing too. Like, there's a lot of things that are very, like, Black specific that just, if you have, like, an all white writer's room, you're gonna miss out on all of that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jordan.
I just want to piggyback off of Kelsey. It's really more so about being authentic too. And so, just like you said, with having writers who actually experience the events they're talking about, you don't want somebody who watched a TED talk or did an African-American experience study for a semester trying to, like, create your Black experience that you watch every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. So I think for it to really resonate, it just needs to be authentic. And so, like, culture, yes, there are things that, like, define the culture, but, like, I think we as Black people are all unique and add to the culture just by our own unique identities.
Okay. Kwesi?
I would actually like to piggyback off Jordan. I was actually sitting here thinking of it, that, you know, we're not a monolith, and that's the best way to go about it when you're making shows of Black characters. Even though, in a sense, they are caricatures, they resonate with people. They have unique characteristics, flaws, what have you, something that makes them them, something that resonates with multiple people and not just Black people. But a lot of these successful shows have crossover audiences where a multitude of people can understand it. However, there's still those little just niches, those little inside jokes that only we pick up on.
I would agree. I think for me, I think one of those essentials is that how long it lasts. Like, does it still hold up 10 to 15 years down the line from the original time it aired? Like, I think ultimately, if you have a show that, yeah, it's good in the moment, but it's only good for that time. Like, say, for example, you created a show that happened during the pandemic that we're in, and literally a lot of the jokes and the comedy that is built off of being in a pandemic and all the issues with having to wear a mask or not wearing a mask, whatever the case may be, if you ask someone, hopefully, prayerfully, 10 to 15 years down the line, we're not still dealing with this, those jokes may not hit the same because you'll have an audience that are like, why are they making so many jokes about wearing a mask? Or why is everybody laughing? It doesn't really make sense. It's not that funny. And then you have people saying, oh, that's just an old time thing. That doesn't make any sense. That's like old school. That's not relevant. Where you find the iconic stuff is where you actually are able to have something that the core values, like everyone has said, it is translatable years down the line. Coach Sciences?
The storylines.
Okay.
I think the story, I mean, basically, I was going to say the diversity of the show in general, not just the character themselves, but each character, the mix of characters that you have and then how you play their storyline is really important. Because when, for example, storylines of having those tough conversations with friends, having to even like racism when you're off to college and you have to deal with racism, these shows, each show touches on racism. These are things that it may change for the generation, but at its core is still the same and the lesson is still the same. So like, that's just one example of the storyline that holds true all the way through.
Okay, Mrs. Smith, do you have anything else you want to add on?
I think one of the things that Kelsey said that I really liked is the fact of having the writers in that room to understand not only the culture, but the jokes, whether for that time or in the future or in the past, because a lot of people, as if I may quote Queen C from last year, they want our rhythm, but they don't want our blues. Mm. And we understand our blues to the point where we can see it in film and in cinema and in TV shows. We can resonate with it to a degree where we're like, oh, that microaggression happened to me at work the other day. Okay, this show is really real, as opposed to, you know, no disrespect to one of my favorite shows, Family Matters, but some of the jokes or stuff that they had later on in the seasons didn't really resonate with us the way that the earlier episodes did, which is how you kind of know that the writers kind of shifted from what worked when the show first came on.
Go ahead.
So I was going to point out, I was going to kind of move on to the second question in a way, where it says the similarities between the shows. Because I want to touch on, like, we were talking about, Mr. Smith pointed out, like, having the strong, independent type of woman, or such as this, like, the different type of characters.
Right.
And going back to me and the storyline and how the shows are similar is you always have that one strong woman that's the deal with something. Mm. But they each show the struggle for each person.
Mm.
Like, how women can't move up in certain businesses, or how much you have to do this, or you have to act a certain way, or it's a man's club. Like, for those examples, when it comes to women aspects, girlfriends and living single did a really good job of that. And then taking place in the 90s, especially when, oh, you know, this is a white man's world, for real. And now when you go to Insecure, and she leaves the white man's world, and now she's in the black man's world, but still the white man's world, and she still has to perform within her own race. I'm like, how that also functions. Like, do you switch to this or do this? And that's what I think all the shows did all the way through.
I'm about to say, I think an interesting point that you brought up that made me think about, to kind of piggyback, is that you notice amongst these three shows that we would deem as a group here as iconic as for the culture and in this genre, it's simply that you see that almost in all three shows, the black woman is the backbone or the foundation of all three shows in a way. You look at Insecure, you have Issa Rae, that goes without saying. You have Living Single, you have Khadijah, correct? I make sure I get all the names right, because I'm not trying to get cussed out by the culture. and then the third one, not necessarily the best character. Somebody consider her the villain, but we're not gonna talk about
that. She was desperately, I love her to death, but she was desperately wanting to be married a little too much.
But all the same, you see that their struggles, or the way that the story was able to be framed and told from their perspective in a lot of ways, made it very unique, and it resonated because, as Mrs. Smith has articulated quite well in multiple episodes, black women make the world go around in a lot of ways. And you have to understand that if you want to create a show that is resonating within the black culture, you have to touch on one of the key points in the black culture, which is black women. And to be able to speak on their struggles, to be able to give them a voice for those in black women in the community that don't actually have a voice because they're not given space at the table to be themselves about being deemed the angry black woman or overly aggressive. Before we get off, that's one thing. I can come back to that another day. I forgot who had the hand to Mr. Smith.
I just want to say, Maxine crawled so Joan could walk, so Molly could sprint.
Hey, that's a word right there. You trying to get on the IG post.
For real though, if you think about that though, that
does bring a good point, because
Maxine struggled, man.
The jokes that she used to get about her,
she my favorite,
as a character, about how she dressed and how she presented herself. Woo. And that brings to a good point, because it's like, the shows that become iconic are the ones that learn to stand on the shoulders that came before them in order for them to reach greater heights.
And at the time when Girlfriends was out, because, you know, I was obsessed when they did like an interview recently, and they talked about at the time when Girlfriends was out, there was no show that represented black women, and then a mixture of different classes of black women,
right.
And then not only did it play on race, it also touched on, I mean, not only did it touch on race, but it touched on the gravity of the mixed culture and being mixed and what that means as a woman,
right.
And having to deal with that. And then it was fun for, you know, each one also played, I think each episode at some point also had like a white person that wanted to be black.
Mm-hmm.
and they always, and that was a good transition to experience from those people as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So as we kind of continue to talk about these shows and their similarities, we also want to kind of bring up the fact that with these shows, what's what I'm looking at? I think, yeah, go ahead, Mrs. Smith. I'm sorry. Oh, well, Kelsey. Yeah, Kelsey, go ahead.
I guess one similarity that like I wanted to bring up with these shows, kind of piggybacking off of what I believe Malcolm said, was that that Black women are the center, they are the forefront. And I like how they still gave us like realistic, well, more so Insecure, I would say more realistic Black men, yeah. But the men in all three shows were like almost in the background. Like, it's like, yeah, there are multiple shows and movies with like, you know, Black men as the leads, but I love that these shows really like brought Black women to the forefront and was like, no, you're gonna tell our story, you're gonna tell their story now. Like, you're gonna give them like the respect and the care that they deserve as characters, and like fully fleshed out characters at that. So I feel like all three shows really did a great job at that. And I do want to, if I can, bring up one nitpick.
Yeah, go ahead.
That I see, I can see that Insecure is not as extreme in it so far, but it's early to tell. But definitely the first two, like Girlfriends and Living Single, kind of suffer from Destiny Child syndrome, where there's like one like main person who ends up becoming super famous and the other girls kind of fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no tea, no shade to any of them, but like all of them are, I just want to say all of them are like uniquely talented and like insanely hilarious. Like Max was always my favorite character in Living Single. It wasn't even up for debate.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But
well, I can't fully agree, because for Living Single, yes, I agree with you. But in Living Single, Khadija was already famous. Like,
true.
And so was Regina, because of what she did as Tootie.
True, very
so
true.
Like those two, and Sinclair was a really, Maxine is the only one, and then Carl Bach, and Obi, they're the only ones that really didn't like soar. Mm-hmm. I would say.
Okay, but there's a reason Kyle didn't.
Your point is valid, though.
I'm about to say no, it's not valid, because you look at the show Girlfriends, because you saw Tracee Ellis Ross's star took off from that show, whereas we as a Black community, as the culture, would be familiar with the rest of the actors and what else they may be doing. But
I follow you all on my Instagram, don't worry.
She's a stalker, but we're not talking about that. Quincy, you had something?
I was going to say that as far as Living Single goes, there was a reason why, and I will say the actor's real name, I won't just call him Kyle Barker, but T.C. Carlson, there's a reason why his star didn't blow up. He actually got blackballed for standing up for his fellow actors against production.
So, I knew I liked him.
I was about to say, yeah. I mean, but he also found a lot of work too in voice acting, mm-hmm. as well, which is a really powerful thing. I want to make sure I give a chance. Jordan, did you have anything you wanted to add on? Okay. So Kelsey, what were you going to say?
Oh, just to back up the thing about voice acting for TC, he was Kratos in the God of War video games for not the most recent one, but I think the first couple. Ooh, I don't know how many there are in total. The first three. Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those too.
Hugely popular. He does?
I'm pretty sure he said, I'm pretty sure I've seen him, like, he still does the that thing.
Yep.
And scatting.
Yeah. I love it.
It's one thing, and I think too, and I think this actually kind of brings us to our next question. I think it speaks to why these shows are very much iconic to us in the culture, is because I want you guys to think about this conversation we just had. We went from talking about the actual shows and what they were about and the archetypes that they talked about. How much this show resonates with us is that we took the time to not only go from observing them as a character in the show, but to observe them as people outside of it. Like the whole question, and I think Mr. Smith said this before when we talked about it, is that there are actors in these shows and in these productions that we follow because we want to see what they do next, because you fell in love with their portrayal of that archetype or that character or that person. Like for me, when I first, when we first got introduced to Lawrence in Insecure, I was very much interested to see where Jay Ellis, correct?
Correct.
Jay Ellis was going to do next. Like I ended up following him and he did one of the escape room movies, which is a horror escape room movie. And he's done other stuff. And then you look at all the other characters and it's like, I love the show so much that I love the people who are in the show. And now I will follow them and at least check out or watch something that they put out. Like Maxine has who played Maxine. She has directed a multitude of sci-fi and other genre-like things that are so cool to me as a Black nerd. And I wouldn't have never known about her if it wasn't for A Living Single. Go ahead, Quincy.
I just want to make sure these Black kings and queens get their roses from us. Her name is Erica Alexander.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mrs. Smith?
So for me, as far as the iconicness, is the fact of being able to be in the moment that you can resonate at that time. With Living Single, Khadijah put on for HBCUs. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there was a lot of shows that did it, but she was very, very consistent. Almost as consistent, I would say she's on par with Martin as the two shows that always put on for HBCUs, right? But the stuff that they got into, right? And Kyle and Maxine bickering back and forth, but it was so just, you just had to sit there like, oh man, I didn't even think about that. That's good. And then going from that to current, to Insecure, when you see Molly, right? And, you know, the transgressions that she had to deal with at her old firm to her actually having to fit in with Black people. Like, that's a real transgression in today's age sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As well as Issa figuring out, and we talked about this in our Insecure episode, Issa trying to figure out what she's doing in the moment. Like, what am I going to do with life? Because I'm at this age. Like, us as Black millennials, a lot of us have had those thoughts at some point in our life. Like, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right path? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Do I like this? And you got to have that coming to Jesus moment. Like, okay, now let me actually think about this. So for a show to resonate with what you're dealing with in the moment, or something that could give you not even a guide, but just a comedic reprieve from the life that you're looking at. It's like, wow, they actually get it. Between the jokes, between the costumes, between the lighting. I'm gonna say it again, between the freaking lighting.
Talk about it.
Because that lighting scene that Lawrence and Issa are standing on opposite sides of a white and red light. Oh my God, that was gorgeous. And it showed the melanin where you're just like, I can resonate with that. So
go ahead.
But I was just gonna say, so that's part of what makes them iconic to me.
I'm about to say, that speaks to Kelsey's point earlier about who do you have in the room talking, discussing things, because you've seen in recent history of how people of color have literally had to advocate, beat down the door, and call people out in order to get accurate lighting. Because you look at certain Vogue magazines and how certain photographers and certain editors would do one shoot versus another and understanding the differences. And when I tell you, some of the best lighting that I've seen has come from African-American people. Like one movie in particular, Queen and Slim. One of the best movies that I have seen when it comes to lighting and to understanding tones, especially for people who are of the darker complexion in African-Americans.
First off, I would like to give a shout out to our darker skin complexion comrades, okay? Because most of y'all skin is like this beautiful silkiness. It is just amazing to look at. And I appreciate you. I just want you to know that I appreciate you. Okay. That's it. I'm done.
All right. Go ahead, Quincy.
I just wanted to make a point real quick because I keep looking at this question on here, and it says, what makes these shows iconic? And everybody's touched on it. But it is being able to resonate, like Mr. Smith said, with the generation. So for millennials, it's definitely Insecure. That's most recent for us. Our adult minds have the ability to process the information right there, then and there, and not have to rewatch it to pick up on it later on. But the other thing that all three of these shows did, Living Single started it, Girlfriends continued it, Insecure, they touched on real subject matters that don't just affect our culture in the moment. Okay. A lot of the issues they touch on are multi-generational issues. It's always going to resonate with the next generation of our people. And they've done a very good job of taking that concept from the 90s into now 2022. So I just wanted to put that.
And I think that's awesome. Like, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I can say it for our our transparent moment.
So before we kind of close out this topic and put a pin in it, I think that we just want to, this is almost like, we want to give our flowers to these shows, both current and the past, because for us, I know this show resonates with me because whenever myself and the Culture Scientists do decide to have children, whether it's on a streaming service or we gotta go on Amazon and buy the DVD or whatever form of technology is gonna be at when we have our kids.
Our fingertips?
Why the fingertips?
I don't know.
I feel like it would rub off. Like, what would happen if we were, you know what, we're getting off topic. We wanna, this is just us. But we want to just be able to give, I want to be able to give that to my children and for them to resonate with them, because down the line, we don't know, we've talked about this before. We as Black people, we have to be excellent, beyond excellent, in order to have things. And the people who did these shows were excellent at what they did. That's why it's still here and it holds up to the test of time. And in order for us to continue that lineage, we have to pass it on to the next one. Like, just like how in earlier on cultures where you had the storytellers. The storytellers would take the history and the information that happened to their people and pass them on to the next generation. These shows are doing the same thing. And as we continue with this series of For the Culture in regards to television shows, we're going to start looking at these other aspects. We've talked about our friend groups and all that stuff, and we're going to get ready to transition to the next one. I won't tell you what, because you got to listen. And for our transparent moment this week, I know for me, is take some time. One of the coolest things that I did and I learned to do, and in the age that we're in right now, there is a podcast for almost any Black show, whether it is Power, whether it is, was it Empire? I never watched it, but that's neither here nor there. Or whatever the show it was, there is a podcast that almost does like a episode by episode follow along and just listen and try to find these interviews, because as these things get older, these actresses and actors often tell these stories that you're like, huh, and it gives more weight and you understand, I now know where this person was in their mind, where they had to go to and what experiences they had to share in order for this to come about, and what made it the authenticity of it really resonate. So as you guys do that, just take some time, do some more research on these shows and look at the behind the scenes stuff. Culture Scientists?
For me, in general, the transparent thing, which I think is the transparency through all the shows and why it's so iconic and important to us, mm-hmm. is that we see ourselves. It's important to have shows that we can look and like, oh, this person looks like us. Oh, they're doing stuff like us. And then it allows us to maybe also be transparent within ourselves and reflect upon the different things that we've learned through the different shows. That's it. That's all I got.
All right. So before I close it out, guess, did you have any final thoughts? Yes, Kelsey.
I just want to say to the listeners watching who have never seen these shows but want to, Insecure is on HBO, Girlfriends is on Netflix, and Living Single, I believe, is on Hulu? Not 100%.
Yes, it used to be on Prime too, but I think they took it off.
Yeah.
They took it off Netflix.
But I think, yeah, you can find it on just about any major streaming platform.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Smith?
I just want to make sure that people understand you know, just a final thing. Thank you guys for giving us shows that we can reference and have water cooler talk with people that are us. When I have coworkers that I can have a conversation about Insecure about that, other coworkers of other nationalities will not get. And we can look at each other and say, yeah, you remember that part? And they'd be like, I don't understand that part. We're like, we do. Specifically, like I mentioned this before, please listen back to our Insecure episode. When I called out the fact that, I forget what episode it was, but they were on the beach and Kelly and Molly are playing spades. The fact that I was like, me and brother, I can look at brother X and be like, that was us. And I can reference that, or I can reference that with my space partner and my family, but people of other nationalities may not get that reference. And as such, you got to be able to say, hey, we at least got something that we can look forward to that reminds us of us, or for us, by us. Shout out to FUBU.
You know what it is. You know what? I think we should try and make a comeback for FUBU. What y'all think? Mm-mm.
We should have.
Wow. Y'all ain't messing with
FUBU. I got my Sean John on right now.
Actually,
I'm trying to get the S. Dot Carters.
No, you know what? I'll reason with you. We'll do it like How High. It's called Boofu. By us. Fuck you.
Wow. And here I was about to go online to find me a pair of lugs.
Man, listen. We should have an episode to honor clothing lines from the 90s and 2000s.
For the 99 and the 2000s.
Oh, God. Because...
Cool, some of them clothing lines.
All right. Yes.
Now, Malcolm, but, if I get you some lugs, I'm going to clown you like it's sixth grade.
Damn.
them lugs were built different.
Oh, and an honorary mention that we did not, do for this show. Martin.
Because technically it is a friend group dynamic show, although you have that romantic couple, but we're not going there.
That's different. Mm-hmm.
That is. We might even talk about it in its own episode. So we're actually going to close out today's episode by shouting out all these different things. And make sure you check us out on our social media at DTNTPod123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And if you always want to share things or talk to us, you can always email us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. For our guests, for my unpaid engineer, for my co-host who cannot seem to stop dancing right now. She's dancing like a robot. It's making me feel uncomfortable. I need an adult. If this podcast is no bigger than what it is right now, we are forever grateful. They are forever grateful. And I know you guys are forever grateful. And with that being said, we'll catch you guys next time.
Hey, so what you gonna miss about LA the most, man?
Honestly, the food. Mexican, barbecue, sushi. I mean, there's no way Denver has good sushi.
Barbecue sounds so good right now.
Mm. I mean, LA got bomb-ass weather, but y'all gotta leave the barbecue alone.
Oh, no, sir. LA got some bomb barbecue spots.
Yeah, I mean, you got Woody's, Bloodsoe's, Moose Craft, Ray's. That's just off the top.
Yeah. You a transplant. Just say that. I'm from Houston.
Yeah. Felt it.
Go ahead and talk your shit. Houston, they got the meats out there.
They do. They really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I still stand by LA having good barbecue, though. You know, people who haven't been here long enough, they just write it off.
That's true, too.
Nah, once people have Texas barbecue, they know it's good.
Barbecue must not be good enough to keep them there.
Oh, this gets so tense.
Hey!
My man Rolando thinks I would look so cute with a Caesar, but I don't know. What you doing tomorrow?
Oh, I'm out. Me and Issa still looking at apartments.
So should I get us some barbecue?